everybody, welcome to the Guys Learning Japanese podcast. How's it going, Nick?
It's going good. How are you?
I'm pretty excited, actually. Did you know that we've recorded 10 episodes? This is our 10th episode right now.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah,
we haven't been hunted down yet. We haven't gotten any hate mail. Nothing too negative. No one's stalking us.
No, that's good, yeah.
Yeah. So, since it's our 10th episode, I think it'd be a good idea to do a progress report. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that sounds good, progress report. So, do you mean just what we've been doing and stuff?
Yeah, so I made a little list here. So, let's talk about what's new, where we're at, how, and what we're studying at the moment.
Okay, sure. Okay. Yeah, that sounds great.
All right, so let's start with you. So, what's new with you in your studying?
What's new? Well,
and how and what have you been studying lately?
Well, I've been watching a lot of anime recently. Anime in particular has been a big focus of mine. I've been watching a lot of the show Uchu Kyoudai, Space Brothers. I'm up to about maybe episode 50 or so of that. And those 50 episodes I've watched probably in the last 2 months, which is that's a lot of watching. And then on top of that, I've finished shorter shows like Usagi Drop, which is about a man who sort of semi-adopts this this girl, Lin, and she sort of comes and stays at his house. And it's just all about, you know, raising her. And then I've also been just started getting into a show all about Japanese folk fairy tales or folklore or folk stories or however you might call it. But in Japanese, it's called Furusato Saisei Nihon no Mukashi Banashi, which is a super long title.
Yeah, that's a mouthful.
Yeah. And I'm not sure how popular the show is. I've talked to a couple of kids about it, but they don't seem to, you know, they've never heard of it, even though it's apparently still on the air. And so I know a show that was pretty popular, it's finished now, that I've also watched recently is Sakamichi no Apuron, which is about a boy who's in it's the first year of high school, senior high school. And he moves to Kyushu. I don't think it's specified where. And he becomes friends with another boy and with a girl. And with that boy, he sort of starts, you know, practicing or jamming in a jazz band. And that's a really good show. It's kind of it has the tropes of a lot of, you know, just angsty teenage drama sort of thing, but it's done well. It's a good version of that sort of thing.
It sounds like you've been watching a lot.
Yeah. Have you been watching much stuff recently?
Not too much, actually. I've been a little busy recently. I think the main one that I've watched was a show called Kontororu Hanzai Shinri Sousa.
Whoa, that's another long title, right?
Yeah. It's a good show, though. It's about some detectives, and I think there are 11 or 12 episodes, and each episode is about 40 minutes long, and it's the story of, the detective task force, and there's a guy from the local university, a psychologist or a psychiatrist, that is just helping the police force solve some crimes. I've been watching that. I just finished it recently, actually, and it was pretty hard, I guess. Some of the language used in it was language that you would hear, like, in a university lecture, like a psychology lecture. So it was kind of hard, but it was a really good show. I enjoyed it.
And are they, you said he's like a detective, right? Or the main character's a detective?
Well, the two main characters, there's a younger woman who just entered the task force, and there's a university professor.
Oh, right, yeah.
And
yep.
They're kind of teamed up together.
Yep, okay. Yeah. So I imagine it's got lots of detective words too, like forensics and case and
perpetrator and
perpetrator
suspect.
And all that sort of stuff. And so they seem, that detective shows seem to be pretty popular in Japan.
Yeah, they're pretty good. A lot of them are kind of phony though, actually, but this one's not so bad. I enjoyed it.
Okay, yeah.
Other than that, I've just been watching the same TV shows that I watch all the time, like I watch a show called Homma Dekka about almost every week, and another show, Ambiri Babo. I guess that's unbelievable in English.
Yeah.
Other random documentaries. I watch a lot of documentaries on like the paid channels. I subscribe to some extra channels, so I watch a lot of documentaries on that. And I've been actually watching quite a few Korean shows with Japanese subtitles, so that's kind of interesting, I guess.
I don't know anything about Korean shows. Do Korean shows have they have subtitles? Do they actually convert the name of the show too into like a Japanese name for the show?
Usually, yeah.
Okay.
Just about all the shows I've seen, like, they all have Japanese titles.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And how about anything else? I mean, have you been doing anything new with Anki or anything like that?
Anki, I've been, you know, pushing out the reps just as usual. I've been doing a lot of vocab from the JLPT N1 textbooks, and I guess it's not bad, actually. I don't really find it that hard. I run into some difficulty with vocab in like news articles or other things that I'm reading. Like, I read a lot of news articles and essays online, and whenever I don't know the words that are in the text, I just copy it, add it to my Anki, and then I just review it. So that's been going on just the same as always. But I don't know, I think I'm becoming more proficient. Like, my accuracy is a lot higher now. I've also been working on different grammatical structures, too. I've been looking at the shared decks on Anki, and I've been downloading a few of them, and I've been finding like a lot of mistakes in them, and I was suspicious, but you know, not being a native speaker, I was kind of thinking maybe I'm the one that's wrong, so I'm just gonna check with some other people. So I checked with some actual Japanese teachers who teach Japanese. And they said, like, no, this is wrong, this is just strange. And so I've become a little wary of those resources that are shared on Anki. Maybe the beginner ones are all right, I'm not sure, actually. I've never really looked at the beginner resources, but the advanced ones that I've seen so far, they haven't been that good. And the ones that are good, they've had, like, you know, some strange formatting, like people will make a sentence and they'll put like six commas in it for no reason, and they'll put everything in caps locks, or everything will be in the full character spacing, like in Japanese it's called zenkaku.
Yeah.
Like they'll write English sentences in zenkaku.
For me personally, I've been as far as Anki is concerned, I haven't really gone online and downloaded any decks. No, that's a lie. I've downloaded.
That is a lie.
Yeah. I've downloaded I downloaded my original kanji deck. You know, the reviewing the kanji thing that I used. I downloaded that from, you know, the Anki shared decks. So I really owe a lot of my kanji fluency to that deck. And also, I've downloaded one for prefectures, for specifically learning prefecture names, and I created my own little system to learn the prefectures. And then, I've never done it for vocabulary, though. I always thought, especially in more early days, I always thought it's better for me to study sentences, because although there is obviously a lot of words in the language, I wanted to get a feeling of words in context, which is, I think, is a good idea. Which actually brings me more to the present day, which is what I've done recently is I've actually created a vocabulary deck for myself, which, just like you do, I'm just putting in any word that seems interesting, that I don't know the meaning of, and that, for instance, I'm often seeing sentences now, and I don't need to put the whole sentence in. I get the sentence. I just don't get this one word. And I've seen similar sentences so many times, it's not like I need to remember the structure of the sentence. So I just take that one word, and it might be something like, I don't know, I'm watching Uchu Kyodai, so there's a lot of words like, you know, radiation, or orbit, kido, orbit is kido. And then there's a lot of words like that I'm just taking, you know, and I'm already interested in space. And so, yeah, it's kind of cool to be able to study all these words in another language. And so I'm having a lot of fun doing that, actually, transitioning from sentences into words. And I'm finding with this solid base of sentence knowledge, it's easy for me to find ways to slip that word into a proper sentence in conversation with someone at work or whatever it might be.
That's a good sign that you're progressing.
Yeah. Well, I think the progressing thing has definitely happened a lot with anime and just watching the same episodes over and over. And normally I watch an episode while I'm eating dinner or something, or I normally watch one or two episodes a day of shows. So it's I'm getting a lot of exposure to shows all the time.
I tend to only add the vocabulary to my Anki deck, but occasionally there will be one word that I just think it's a little beyond my level. Even if I understand the meaning of it, I may not be confident in using it. So for those special cases, I'll always add about two or three sentences, and I'll get those sentences online from a dictionary or just from Googling the word, and adding that to the card in Anki, that tends to help me a lot with remembering the meaning of it.
Yeah, I do that already. Normally, I have a dictionary that's I've been using for probably close to a year now. And it's a dictionary made for kids, and it's made for, you know, sort of maybe, yeah, primary school kids kind of thing, or up the upper levels of primary school. And so these definitions are normally pretty clear, and I've found that really, really, really useful. I actually think I might prefer it to more professional dictionaries in a weird way. I really like its definitions. Often its definitions have very specific examples, often to things which relate to school life. And so it's very, very easy being in a school environment to understand and to appreciate where I might, you know, insert that kind of sentence into, you know, into my everyday life. And apart from that, what have I been doing?
Well, oh, that's right. Why don't you tell them the major news, your recent purchase? What did you buy recently?
Yeah. Well, it's a sad story in some ways, because I was reading a book, and I really like this book. I should advertise the book because it's really good. It's called Nifunkan no Boken. So Nifunkan no Boken. And that's I was reading that. It's by a man named Okada Jun. And so I was reading that, and I read maybe 70 pages, and I was, you know, full steam ahead, and then I bought a PS3.
Nice.
Yeah. And I bought a few games for it. I bought Ni no Kuni, which I've been playing to death recently, and I bought Okami, which I've also been playing, and I bought a game also called...
you bought the HD version, right?
Yeah, the HD version, that's it. I also bought Boku no Natsuyasumi, which is about a boy who goes to Hokkaido to spend some time with his uncle and aunt and, you know, some other people. And it's just all about his adventures in Hokkaido. And he, you know, catches bugs and fights them with, you know, fights bugs with his with some friends he makes. And
yeah,
stuff
I've seen
like
the
that.
Trailer for that one. That just the idea that the creators had, like, wow, just, you know, I would never think of creating a game about something like that. But it's just a very original idea.
Yeah, yeah, I can, you know, comfortably say it's a good game. It's a, I'm enjoying it. It's not really a typical game. It's very relaxing, and you just sort of, everything's done in days, you know, and it has this cycle that might be, say, 15 minutes per day. And
yeah.
So you just sort of go out, and then you just do stuff throughout the day, and, you know, it might be 15, 20 minutes of playtime, and then you... And then you can save it after that. And so you sort of just play it. Well, I've just been playing it day by day sort of thing, where I just save it and then turn the game off. And I really like playing it that way.
I think, like, if you're not living in Japan and you would like to try and understand more about Japanese life, especially the lives of, like, you know, younger kids or something, like, that would be a really good game, just to give you a good cultural experience.
Yeah, you're not kidding. It is absolutely so authentic Japanese. Everything that everyone says is so Japanese. And the way they say it, and the look of the whole game is not exaggerated at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the layout of the house and everything is very, very Japanese. It's a... I'd imagine if I were to go back, for instance, to Australia and live there, you could almost play this game like, you know, Japan nostalgia. That's how sort of, that's how familiar it feels to kind of the Japanese lifestyle and everything.
Yeah, it's going to give you a much better impression of Japan, or like a good idea of what Japan is in comparison to something like Great Samurai Warrior 37.
Yeah, yeah. And how about you? What have you been up to recently?
Other than what I already said, I think I mentioned before that I have a PS3 too, and all I've been playing is Final Fantasy VI. The main reason I got that game is just because, you know, I wanted to replay the original. I remember playing it when I was younger. I think I was in high school. I played the ROM of it on a computer, like it was a fan translation.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, I was obsessed with the Final Fantasy games when I was younger, so I played the ROM, but I think I got busy at one point and I just stopped somewhere in the middle of the game, so I wanted to finish it. So I got that on the PlayStation Network, and Okami went on special a few weeks ago. The HD version, I think it was originally like $70 Canadian or American. So in Japan, I think it was about 7,000 yen, but it went on sale for 3,000 yen, so about $30 or so. So I decided to pick that up, and just because I've never seen an HD game, because I'm still new with the PS3, I just got it not too long ago. So I wanted to get, you know, a PlayStation 3 original game, an HD game, so I just picked that one up, and just, wow, really amazing. The Japanese is hard, and there's a lot of, you know, deep cultural stuff that is probably difficult even for, like, you know, regular Japanese people, because it's going into, like, history and mythology and some traditional sentence structures. But it's a really interesting game, and you get to learn a lot about old Japanese life. So I'm really enjoying it. I like it. So just FF6 and Okami. Those are the only games that I've been playing lately. But I have Persona 3 and Persona 4 on hold. I haven't started them, but I got them ready And hopefully I'll be playing them soon. And then I may even try Persona 5. I don't know, it seems a little geeky, but the Persona games, they're just great for your Japanese ability. Your Japanese is just going to grow immensely from playing these games. There's a lot of reading, and the story is pretty interesting. So.
And people talk just constantly in those
Yeah.
games. You have just so much exposure. And a lot of it's actually spoken too in the more recent ones, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're looking for like a button mashing game or like a really fun game, Persona is probably not it. For someone who's studying Japanese and you're playing the game in Japanese, I think it's great. I don't think I would enjoy playing it if I were to play it in English and not be interested in Japan at all, though.
No, I actually played a bit of Persona 3 in English, and I used to get really sick of how repetitive everyone was. They would introduce an idea, and you already knew where this idea was going, and it would take 2 hours to get there, and you would have read just, line after line after line after line after text of text, and it would finally, get to the reveal, and it just seems so tired by the time it's happened. But in Japanese, and if you're studying Japanese, that's probably a really good thing. You probably get a constant reminder or a constant new way of saying the same ideas. And so it's like a perfect sort of little way to study, actually. Yeah, I've actually found the same thing with Ni no Kuni because I'm playing the PS3 version, and the game is I guess made for kids, there's a lot of repetition, and there's a lot of say if one character explains it in full on adult Japanese, another character will kind of explain it more simply, and so you can, if I only understood half of the first, I can normally fill in the gaps with the second, and I've found it, yeah, to be a really great experience playing the game. So it's sort of strange that the game is can be so rewarding for your Japanese, but I really think it's true in this case. Yeah. And so do you have anything else you've been doing?
Well, one thing that I've been, or one site that I've been reading a lot recently, and I really recommend it to everyone who's studying Japanese if you're at the intermediate or advanced level, I would recommend the Japan Crush website. This website takes news stories from Japan, and they're usually slightly odd news stories. It's not something that you would see on TV usually. Slightly odd stories, and they have an English article, but they also have the Japanese translation of it. And below the article, they have the curated comments, like a list of maybe like the best 10, like top 10 or maybe top 15 comments. And they have them translated into very natural English, but they also have the original Japanese.
Yeah, and so I know of this website, but can you describe to anyone listening the kind of how it works as far as the rollover system?
Yeah, so what you do is you have the original, or you have the translated version displayed. So
As in the
the
English
article,
version, right?
yes, the English version, this is the translation. And when you roll over, or when you bring your mouse, drag your mouse over a paragraph, that paragraph, the original Japanese will appear in a pop-up. It's not a pop-up window, but it's a temporary window. And the original Japanese of that translated portion will appear.
Yeah, and the translations too are they're pretty phenomenal. I mean, sometimes there's expressions which are used commonly in English which you just would never hear an equivalent if it was translated literally in Japanese. But sure enough, you'd look at the Japanese and the Japanese is also like a similar expression. But obviously, it's completely different. It won't be a literal translation, but it will be a very kind of accurate translation to the feeling of the that's what I think that is the reason why this website is so good.
Yes, I think a lot of translators, their work is just garbage, honestly. But this website has an amazing group of translators. They all do such an amazing job. When I read the Japanese article, and then I read the English article, I always get the same feeling.
Yeah.
And it's not common that that happens. That's pretty rare for me.
Yeah, that's great. It's strange that it's not a paid service. It could almost afford to be.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's a really, really good service. I think I would also highly recommend it. I mean, I've only found out about it from you recently, but yeah, every time I go there, there's always some interesting article. I remember once you were telling me about an article about a dude who didn't have enough money to get home, and so he literally walked from near enough to like the top of Japan to like the bottom of Japan.
Well, actually, the opposite. He walked from like Kyushu towards like Tohoku.
The opposite, right? Yeah, from Kyushu to Tohoku. I mean, yeah, if you just open up a map, that's really like the whole thing. That's the whole of Japan, just about minus Hokkaido.
Yeah, it's not like a 2 or 3 hour walk. It's like a 2 or 3 month journey.
Yeah, and the comments, some of the comments for that, the curated comments, were really funny.
Yeah, yeah. Another one recently that was published on that website was, why don't Japanese couples sleep together? And not all Japanese couples are this way, but it's pretty common. Like, it's not rare for Japanese couples to sleep separately. And it goes through all the statistics and the different age groups, and it goes into different theories of why it may be this way. And just the comments are really interesting. And the articles are always really interesting. So I just think if you're at the advanced level, you have to have this website on your RSS aggregator.
Yeah.
I would have said Google Reader, but that doesn't exist anymore. So add it to your Feedly.
Yeah, Feedly. Yeah, that's it. So do you want to end it there?
Just one more question, though.
Sure.
Just to give everyone an idea, how much do you study every day, roughly? For me, on an average day, I would probably say about 30 minutes, but this is conscious studying. Like, I'm actually opening a book or actively studying something on my computer. Other than that, I'm in Japan, I'm talking to Japanese people, I'm watching Japanese TV, and I'm reading other Japanese things. But for conscious studying, I would say about roughly 30 minutes a day. On days where I have more free time, it would be like maybe an hour or so, where I'm actively reviewing vocab.
Does that include Anki?
Well, it is Anki.
Right, okay, yep.
So I would say about like roughly, at least 20 minutes a day or so of Anki. Some days I skip it, but, you know, ideally I'm doing at least 30 minutes a day of Anki.
But when you watch shows, you're not considering that study?
No, that's why I'm saying like conscious studying.
Yeah, see, maybe it's just a difference in definition, because when I'm watching shows, obviously I'm enjoying it, but I'm also paying a lot of attention, and I'm trying to mark down words that I don't know, and I'm looking them up, and I'm putting them into Anki and things like that. So it's hard enough that I would consider that to be actual study. You know, I think it's because you're more than a few more years on from me. Maybe that's not considered study to you.
Mm-hmm. But maybe I should be doing that, though, but I don't. I should be, like, taking notes when I don't understand a word, but I'm just too lazy, I guess.
Yeah, well, between between Anki and doing that with anime and other shows and reading, you know, obviously reading can be fairly intensive too. On a day off, I would say I do a lot more than an hour of study. I'd say I do probably 4 or 5, possibly more hours.
Wow.
Of fairly intense study. On a working day, I'll probably do about an hour.
And this is mainly Anki?
Well, I actually don't do Anki on working days, normally. But I, as I said, it just might be a difference in definition. I'll study episodes of a TV show, or I'll read for 25 minutes or so, and during that time I'm sort of, you know, jotting down words, and I'm like, you know, concentrating on each sentence and trying to really, you know, get a sense of the meaning of it and everything like that.
Awesome. All right. So, all right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Catch you next time on the Guys Learning Japanese podcast. Don't forget to send your questions to us. Okay, thanks for listening to the Guys Learning Japanese podcast. Send your questions to glj@gmail.com. We'll answer your questions on the show.